Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. When I stand up here, I don't want you hearing me. I want you to hear the voice of God's Word. Because God speaks to us through His Word. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. It is not about me, not about you. It's about God. What does He have to say to us in every aspect of our lives? How many of you went to those one-room country schools? Well, several of you. Well, just think about a country school down in the Kentucky, single, you know, school room. That's where all the kids are together in one big room. And think about the fact that back then it was very common, it wasn't my country school, to have boys there that were farmer boys, 18, 19, 20 years of age, going to school. And just picture this, if you will, that the teacher is going to have a school program. She wants to put on a school program. But these three older boys are left out. She just has the little ones. And they're a little perturbed about it. And so they begin to beg her and plead with her that they want to be a part of the Christmas program. And so she finally says, okay, I'll let you have a part. You'll be the three wise men. Now what I want you to do, she says, I want you to get together, read the Bible, look at it, and come dressed like three wise men would have been dressed back then. So it came the night of the Christmas play. And they come walking in. One has a fireman's hat on. Another one has a fireman's jacket on. The other one has a fireman's pants on. And she's a little perturbed. What in the world? How'd you come up with this? Did you read the Bible? Well, yeah. What made you think that you needed to dress up like a fireman? Well, it says they came from afar. Well, we have come from afar. We have come far. I don't know how much of God's Word you make application to. But God has given you gifts. And the first gift we covered was the gift of grace. Because every gift that God gives us is a manifestation of His grace. Undeserved, unmerited. He gives it to us because of who He is. Grace. We're to grow in the grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Out of that grace, God promises us His peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, my peace I give to you. Peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding is a gift that God desires to give to His people. Peace with us, peace with one another, peace with men. We're to live at peace with all men as much as is possible. There is that gift that He gave to us, and it is manifested within this context of this book. It is a gift of truth. This book, Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are truth. But Jesus also said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And if you know the truth, you will be free indeed. That is a gift from God, that you and I have been made aware of the truth. And that truth is contained in this book. What that means to me is that anything that does not agree with what this book says is not true. This is truth. And in this context of truth, God promises us freedom, salvation, hope, joy. All of those are a manifestation of His grace. Last week we introduced to you, if you weren't here, you may want to get the CD, Wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom of God. God's great gift to man is that He has opened the door for you and I to be able to share in His wisdom, the wisdom of God. I want to thank God this morning for His indescribable gifts. You see, I believe that when you receive a gift and it really means a lot to you, you're really thankful for it. How many of you got gifts that you were really thankful for? Well, my greatest gift was given to me 55 years ago when she walked down the aisle and said, I do. The Bible says that a wife is a God-given gift. And you ought to be thankful for your wife. You ought to be thankful for your husband. But the Bible also says that children are a gift from God. And if your quiver is full, then you are blessed. Back then, a quiver was 5 arrows. I don't know if you knew that or not. But that's the Hebrew context of a quiver being full of arrows was 5. My children were with us all over this Christmas season, and we were blessed. To see them laughing, interacting, having fun together, sharing together, to see our grandchildren and the way they interact and how they love one another and play together and include all the little ones and whatever. And it's just a joy, isn't it? Isn't it? Family is a gift from God. Now, I know that in this life, you and I, as we live in it, are going to deal with problems, circumstances. We're going to deal with heartache. We're going to deal with loss. We're going to deal with those things. And Jesus even warned us that in this life, you will have tribulation. In this world, but fear not, little ones, because he said, I've overcome the world. But we will have difficulty. We will have trouble. We will struggle. Those old things come. But what is it that you and I know that when those challenges come, that it is what the greatest need, if you will, that we have during those times? I believe the greatest need I have is godly wisdom to deal with those circumstances and deal with those heartaches and deal with those losses and deal with those challenges and those struggles that every one of us deal with. That in and of yourself, you do not have the capacity to deal with it. The way of man is not within himself. It is not within man to choose the path that he shall walk. That's Proverbs. It also says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And many there are walking that pathway today. Foolishly as it may be, the point is that in life, if you're going to make it through this life, and you're going to make it facing all the issues of life, is you need from heaven a gift from God, and that's His wisdom. That's His wisdom. James 1:5, remember, tells us that if you lack wisdom, ask. Ask of God and He will give it to you. King James says, unbraided, or as it is, without measure. Remember last time, the big bucket with a handle on it? And you ask for God's love and He's going to pull the handle and God just pours His love out on us. I mean, and you will by your faith receive all the love you want. It's there. It's available. Drink it in. If you're thirsty, drink. If you want His peace, it's available, isn't it? But by faith, you receive it, right? By faith, read Romans chapter 12. It says, by the measure of faith, one receives the blessings of God. The measure is, and how much you receive from God then will be in direct proportion to how much faith you have that God keeps His promises. Isn't that what James says? Let him who doubts, let him who even question, that God is going to pour out on you the measure of wisdom that you need at that proper time, don't expect anything from God. He says you're like a ship out in the middle of the sea, beaten about by the waves and the wind, etc., etc. And then he says, a double-minded person is unstable in all the ways. How stable is your life right now? Okay, I've said it before, but my granddad said, horse sense comes from a stable mind. Horse sense comes from a stable mind. I said, horse sense comes from a stable mind. And there's a lot of instability in our world today, isn't there? Isn't there? Why? Because men are not seeking God's wisdom. You see, there are two kinds of wisdom that is available to man. James chapter 3 tells us of those kind of wisdom. There is a wisdom from above, and there is a wisdom from below. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who among you is wise in understanding? That's the question. Who among us is wise in understanding? Okay. Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. Let him do what? Show by his good deeds in the gentleness. How do you pick up a baby? James, how are you going to pick up your little one? Gently. How many of you have had little kittens born? You see their little things crawling around. They look like pups to me. But how would you pick them up? Gently. How do you handle people? How do you deal with your wife, your husband, your children, and whatever? Do you deal with the wisdom that comes from above that is gentle? That's what it says. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds, whatever he does, in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambitions in your heart, do not be arrogant, and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. There is a wisdom that doesn't come down from God. Okay? He says this wisdom is earthly. Okay? Earthly, it's natural, and it's demonic. Now, do you suppose there's a lot of Satan's wisdom that's controlling the world today? Is there a lot of greed out there today? Is there a lot of disharmony and lack of gentleness in the way people are treating one another today? What in the world do you think is going on in the context of how our police force is being attacked today? Who do you think is causing that? You think the governor of New York is causing that, or the spirit of wisdom from below is causing him to do that? There is two powers in the world today that's controlling the world in which you and I live in. There is the power of darkness under the guise and the power of the evil one. And then there is that kingdom that God has taken and created through Christ that you and I are citizens of. Isn't that right? And you were transferred and taken by God out of the kingdom of darkness, transferred over into the kingdom of His dear Son. And you and I are to be walking in the light. We are no longer children of darkness. And the only reason you can see beyond your nose and see what's going on is because of the wisdom that's defined within this book. If you know it. I said, if you know it. So the plus is, again, is the fact that there is a wisdom. Notice what he goes on and says. But the wisdom from above is first what? Pure. Are you reading this with me? I'm in James chapter 3. I'm in chapter 3. You got to see it with your eyes. You understand that you remember 80% of what you see, and remember only 20% of what you hear. If you're not reading the Word, if you're not seeing the Word, that's why television has such a great impact on your children, on your life, movies and whatever. Because you're sitting there and you're not only hearing, you're seeing with your eyes, and that permeate, that's light coming into your brain, into your mind, and you're receiving whatever that light is and the words behind it. Now, I want you to stay with me there, okay? Because the wisdom that God offers to you and me is first pure. It's first pure, and then it's gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. That's God's wisdom. So look at your life. How much of the wisdom of God do you have? Or if you're lacking and you see jealousy and envy and all those, where do they come from? Is that the wisdom of this world? Is it earthly? Is it natural? Is it demonic in that aspect? Stay with me in that concept because I think it's very important. Quite contrast, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say that's quite a contrast? Well, if you want to see another contrast, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 and following. Come on, open your Bibles. I want to hear pages turning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. I want you to listen to this. Follow along. Read it with me. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, Isaiah 29:14, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Oh, that's what James says. Where is the wise man? Where is he anyway? Do you know anybody that is wise? Not according to this world, but wise spiritually? And that he has indeed manifest to you in the deeds that he does, that what he is and who he is, that he has received the wisdom from God and not from this earth, earthly. He goes on and says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for sign, Greeks search for wisdom, But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than all of man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is far greater and more powerful than all the strength of men put together, okay? For consider your calling, brethren, that there was not many wise according to the flesh, the natural, the earthly, not many mighty, not many noble, for God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. Oh, do you want God's wisdom or do you want the wisdom of the world? You like the wisdom you got? You like the wisdom that's controlling your life? Because you are being controlled by wisdom. Wisdom that either comes from below or wisdom that comes from above. I want you and I to understand this morning that none of us are self-made people. None of us are. We need God's wisdom today. God's wisdom is far surpasses all of the wisdom of man. His weakness, his weakest moment, is far strength and far more powerful than all the strength of men. We need the wisdom of God. Why? Why do we need the wisdom of God? When God created you, he gave you five senses. And those five senses are the gateways that only and you receive all the knowledge that you know. Taste, smelling, hearing, seeing, sight, smell, hearing, taste, and feeling. Those are the gateway to knowledge. And those are the only ones that are there. You don't learn anything other than yet through those five gateways. Are you listening to me? Okay? Psychologists tell us, and this word tells us, that everything you have heard or seen or tasted has been indelibly impressed into the mind, into the brain. What does that mean? It means that it is there to stay. It's there to stay. They also tell us that those gates of knowledge that you and I and what we have received then has a forever impact, permanently impressed, upon the brain and the mind of every individual. So whatever you are looking to, seeing, hearing, so on, whatever your children are listening to, looking at, seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, whatever they're doing, whatever your grandchildren are hearing, seeing, tasting, and breath, have had and are having a tremendous impact upon how they think, how they reason, and how they evaluate life and who they are and all the other stuff. Okay? There is no delete button made in those gates of knowledge. None. Now you're listening. We may have difficulty bringing those things back to memory at some times or another, but they still are there influencing your life for good or for bad. And if it wasn't for the grace of God and the peace of God and the wisdom of God, you wouldn't be able to escape it. You would be enslaved to it for the rest of your life. But by the grace of God, he has given through the cross of Jesus Christ the way through which man can be born again, recreated, renewed, refurbished, if you will, by the power of God's Spirit and made new creatures in Christ, and that you and I can overcome. Psychologists don't understand that, but this book represents it. But how important is it then for you and I to take the warning of God? Why is it that God warns us to guard our hearts and our minds? He warns us over and over and over in this book. Guard your hearts. Guard your mind. Because out of the heart comes the issues of life. And as a person thinks in their hearts, Out of the heart comes adultery and fornication and lasciviousness and wickedness and murder and whatever. Isn't that true? Isn't that what he said, Jeremiah? From the heart. From the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Guard your hearts. Guard your minds. But above everything else, guard your children's minds. You need to be aware of what they're being taught at school. And you need to get involved with it. Because those teachers and those concepts and those philosophies are having a direct impact on what and where and the direction and the path your child may walk. And you need to be concerned about that. And grandparent, you need to be concerned about your grandchildren. You need to be concerned of what is it they're watching, what they're hearing, what they're seeing, what they're becoming involved with, and what's permeating into the gateways of their knowledge. Because I'm guaranteeing you that most of the individuals that produce movies and produce the cartoons on your TV set and all that stuff are not being directed by the wisdom from above. I guarantee you that. They're not God's people. They're not God-fearing people. But there is another wisdom that is controlling their lives. Okay? I believe we need God's wisdom. I believe it with all my heart. Proverbs 12:5-15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know what a fool is? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool is a person that acts directly contrary to reason. That means they know what is reasonable, they know what is reality, they know what is true, but they directly, of their own will, act in opposition to it. Do we have a lot of fools in our world today? Huh? Do we? Do we? Because all evidence around us, even in creation, the wisdom of God is demonstrated, isn't it? I mean, do you see God's wisdom in the way He created the world? You know what's going on right now out there with that snow and the nitrogen that is permeating into the soil that the farmers are thanking God for? Because that nitrogen is going to have a diametric impact on what's going to happen next spring when they plant their seeds. You know that? Why does all things go to rest? What's happening? They're being renewed. I mean, God's wisdom is seen all around you and me. It really is. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see His tremendous sovereign and power and things through the things He has made? His eternal wisdom is there for you and I to see. But the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Now, I wouldn't listen to any counsel that is in direct disagreement with the counsel that is given here. Okay? So, I guess the question is, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? What counsel are you receiving and from whom are you receiving it? Because this man stands before you as one who wants to follow Proverbs 19:21. Many plans are in man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Psalms 119:24. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. What gives me the understanding and the discerning that I have is only because I know the God who wrote this book. I believe this is inspired. And I believe all Scripture is inspired. And I believe it is profitable to teach us, correct us, reprove us, and to furnish us and to make us all complete and whole as human beings. And to equip us. I believe it only comes through the book. Sorry, but that's who I believe. I don't believe it comes through psychology or Reader's Digest. And you're not going to hear me stand up here and preach some good sermon from Reader's Digest. I'm sorry. If you come in here, you're going to hear the Word of God. And you're going to see how to apply it. Because it's in such an important element, because one of the aspects of God's gifts is that we have His wisdom. And the wisdom of God was first revealed to you and me in the person of His Son. Have you seen the wisdom of the cross? Do you see God's wisdom in the cross? To the world, to everyone out there, it is foolishness. But to you and I who believe, it is the power of God to salvation. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine God Himself, the divine creator of the universe, who created all things through his son, gave everything into his hand, then allowed him to come and be beaten, bruised, spit on, and spat on by the same people that he was going to die for. And Jesus could hang on that cross with the sincerity of his love, and he could say, God, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. But they took wisdom and put it on a cross. That was God's wisdom, wasn't it? Wasn't it? In him, when he was a little boy, the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Do you think you need to grow in wisdom? Well, what wisdom are you receiving? Are you receiving the wisdom of the world that comes from below, or are you really seeking the wisdom that comes from above? Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. Who are you walking with? I've done enough study in leadership and personalities and concepts that you become like the five people that are the closest to you in your life. John and Bonnie are almost identical. Lloyd and Nancy are almost identical, except they're male and female. Marilyn and I are almost, it scares me. I'm scared to death of her today. Because it's almost like she knows what I'm thinking before I say it. Okay, so some people's voices even become almost identical. They sound alike. Have you noticed that? Huh? Who are you running with? Who are you associating with? Is the only people you have in your life the people you work with and the people out there that are in the world in darkness walk and they are living under the wisdom of this world? Or are you springing into the surrounding aspect of your life, men and women are God-fearing who have God's wisdom and you're associating with them and you're receiving because the wise man will walk with the wise. He went on and said, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. Don't kid yourself. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be deceived. Don't try to fool yourself and say, well, they won't influence me. I can run with them. They won't bother me. I can do what I want. No, the Bible says, be not deceived. Evil companions corrupts good morals. I just happen to believe that. Because I know a lot of young people I've counseled over the years that they didn't become what they did become because that's what they wanted. They came to be who they were because of the kids they associated with. And they started doing things that they didn't want to do simply to be accepted. You know anybody like that? Know anyone like that? Think about it. So what are the requirements? First one is what? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. It's the fear of God. Well, you take God out of our knowledge and there's no acknowledgement that we're accountable to anyone, right? And so we're left to our own devices, our own will, our own purpose. You see, the only thing that can hold man in rein and put a rein on him is the fear of God, that he's going to be held accountable someday for his behavior. Does that make sense? What held you in rein? Wasn't it the fact that you were going to be held accountable by your mom and dad to some degree? Huh? Wasn't it? Huh? Wasn't it? Well, take that, all of that, and put it in perspective when there is no fear of God anymore. The man's going to do what's right in his own eyes, and we're going to have another world like before the flood. Really. And that's what it was, that, okay? You need to have a desire and a determination that you want to become wise. You got to have a determination. You got to want to be wise. You got to understand you lack it. But I want it. I want the wisdom that comes from above. I need it. I need it in my life. I need it in my family. I need it as a husband, as a wife. I need it with my children. Don't you? Don't you? Don't you? How many times have I said to myself, if I only knew now, back then, what I know now? You know? Because wisdom is a discerning of knowledge. You know that? It isn't knowledge. We got a lot of knowledge in the world today. Libraries and libraries are filled with books. But I've never seen so much foolishness in the last 10 years as I've seen today. And decisions that are being made. You got to need wisdom, and you got to meditate. And meditate, meditate, that means chew on, digest the Word of God. Because that's where it comes from. That's where the source is. The source is in the Word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands not in the path of the sinner, who does not sit on the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf will not wither. He will bring forth fruit in his season, and whatever he does will prosper. Blessed is the man who meditates on the Word of God day and night. He'll become like a tree whose roots are firmly being furnished with all the nutrition he needs for life. His leaves won't wither. He'll bring forth fruit in its season. And there is a season, isn't there? And whatever he does will prosper. Is that what your Bible says? That's what mine says. I believe that God is true. An only true source of wisdom. I believe that. I believe that you're going to be wise. You're going to be wise in your own self. If you're going to be wise, you ought to be wise in God. Godly wisdom. And you need to ask. If you lack it, what do? You ask. And how do you ask? In faith. Believing, right? Okay? Don't ask if you don't believe you're going to get it. Otherwise, right? You need to ask, and you need to ask Him, believing firmly, convinced that God is a God who keeps His promises. If He promised you wisdom, He promised you peace, if He promised you His grace, He promised you you can walk in truth, then believe it. Trust Him. The Bible says in Hebrews, do not waver in your faith, for He who promised is faithful. I want you to stand with me. Come on. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2 again. Because if you want desire of wisdom, if you really truly want it, if you want the power to discern, if you want what God has to offer to you, then listen to what the Holy Spirit wrote through Solomon and gave it to you. The secret is right here. It's here. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his godly one. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. Every good course that you might walk. For wisdom will enter your heart. Wisdom will enter your heart. And knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. And all God's people said, you want it? You really desire the wisdom that God's promised us? It's a gift. You and I have availability to it, but you need to keep His commandments. You need to walk in His will. You need to walk uprightly with integrity. You need to keep your life right before God. And He will pour His wisdom into your heart. He will give it to you. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Huh? Think about it. That you can actually become a recipient of the wisdom that God had in the very beginning when He created all things, made your body, how wonderful and marvelously made you are. And God has instilled in all of us that aspect, and it's available to us. It's there. It's a gift. I pray to God you'll seek it. Because if you don't, you have nothing other than the wisdom of this world to control your life. Let's pray.